2000 was a box office record year for Hollywood. Films brought in $7.7 billion. But because of rising ticket prices, that actually represents a slight decline in attendance. Artistically, our film critic Bob Mondello says it was a less than stellar year, and he had to stretch a bit to come up with a 10 best list.
Ordinarily, at this time of year, I'm agonizing over all the pictures I'm going to have to leave off my 10 best list. At the moment, though, I'm still looking for one more to put on it. It's not that Hollywood's year has been terrible. It's just been sort of middling. Lots of pictures that are pretty good, some that make really fascinating narrative leaps, and others that are technological marvels, but very few that make you want to shout from the rooftops. And even those that did were sort of odd, like Dancer in the Dark, which stars rock star Bjork as an impoverished woman who's going blind and keeps escaping into her fantasies. The film struck me as thoroughly annoying for much of its length, but when it got to me, it really got to me.
I got little games I play when it goes really hard. I just start dreaming and it all becomes music.
The film takes that literally. The sounds of the factory, the rhythm of a passing train, even her own heartbeat in a jail cell set up Busby Berkeley-style musical numbers. The colors become richer, passers-by pick up the beat, and Bjork's the star, dancing the darkness away, at least for a moment. Dancer in the Dark isn't the only film to blend tragedy and ecstasy into a winning mix this year. A gorgeous French film called Girl on the Bridge tells a tale of a sideshow knife thrower who talks a suicidal young woman into joining his act as a human target. Shot in dreamy black and white and steeped in sex and mystery, Girl on the Bridge is enormously seductive. A different sort of seduction fuels the quirky independent film Requiem for a Dream, in which Ellen Burstyn gives a tour de force performance as a widow torn between two concerns, the welfare of her heroin-addicted son and a chance to be on TV if she can just fit into a dress that's now three sizes too small. Guess which takes precedence.
I'm going on a diet.
What diet are you on?
Eggs and grapefruit.
Oh, I was on that one. Lots of luck.
It's not so bad.
How long you been on it?
All day.
All day? It's 1 o'clock.
I'm thinking thin.
She's thinking thin.
My Louise, she lost 50 pounds just like that.
Like that?
Like what?
Poof.
What'd you do, put her in a sweat box? No.
She went to a doctor and he gave her pills. You don't want to eat.
So,
she gets hooked on pills, joining her son in a downward spiral. That Requiem for a Dream turns into a skittery, neon-lit nightmare. Other social nightmares fueled two of the year's best foreign language films. From Spain came Butterfly, an extraordinary child's eye view of the revolution in which Franco's fascist government came to power. And from France came Human Resources, the story of a man who has worked in a factory all his life to make it possible for his son to go to business school. Upon graduating, the son then makes a suggestion that management uses to justify eliminating the father's job. Human Resources was cast almost entirely with people who had recently been laid off from factory jobs in the region where it was filmed. And boy, did they provide a ring of truth. That's five films, all of them pretty downbeat. Happily, comedies also provided some of the year's bright spots. A smart hipster romance called High Fidelity, for instance, which cast John Cusack as a man who's been dumped by his girlfriend, who keeps begging her to take him back, and who just won't take I don't know for an answer.
If someone was in the hospital and he was seriously ill, and the doctor said, I don't know if this patient has a chance of survival or not, that doesn't mean that the patient's definitely going to die now, does it? I mean, he might live, even if it's a remote possibility.
I suppose so.
So we have a chance.
Shut up, Rob.
I just want to know where I stand here. What chance?
What? I don't know what chance we have.
If you could tell me roughly.
All right, we have a 9% chance of getting back together.
Nine.
Okay, nine.
Great.
Cheerful respite was also offered this year by a kid picture called Chicken Run that had equal appeal for adults. Its tale of hens who must fly the coop or risk being baked into chicken pot pies combined claymation with plot elements cribbed from World War II flicks. It was, as its ads proclaimed, poultry in motion.
I thought you were going to teach us how to fly.
That's what I'm doing.
Isn't there usually some flapping involved?
Hey! Do I tell you how to lay eggs?
Relax. We're making progress.
Really? I can't help feeling we're going round in circles.
If the claymation film technique was given a new lease on life by Chicken Run, a film called Time Code did much the same thing for screen splitting. British director Mike Figgis divided the screen into fourths, then started four handheld cameras running simultaneously in different locations, and with a company of 28 actors who had synchronized their watches, he created a 90-minute comic thriller. Everything he shot is up there on screen because all four film strips are continuous, with not a single edit. Time Code is a film designed to impress film nuts, and there's no question it's gimmicky, but it plays with narrative structure in ways that make it pretty fascinating. What makes the domestic drama You Can Count on Me so special is something much more conventional, a really fine script and acting that smacks of real life. It's about a single mom who has things a little too together when her life is upended by an unexpected visit from her brother.
So how are you?
I'm fine, Terry.
So, how's Rudy?
We're fine, Terry. How are you?
Yeah.
Where have you been lately, Terry?
No, I haven't been.
I got a postcard from you from Alaska?
Yeah, I was out there for a little while.
That was in the fall, Terry.
Yeah, no, I've been out of touch.
I was a little worried. I mean...
Yeah, I've been a lot of different places. I was down in Florida for a little while. I was doing some work in Orlando. And, man, I've been all over the place.
Well, I wish you'd... Just let me know you're okay.
You Can Count on Me is one of the most observant dramas about family that I've encountered in years. That brings the list to 9, and I'm going to leave the last slot open rather than trying to choose between all the almost there movies that came out in the year 2000, films like the appealing but by-the-numbers saga of Aaron Brockovich, or Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon with its glorious battles and stilted dialogue. There have to be a dozen films I could make a case for, but none I feel really passionate about, so let me just leave 2000 cheering for 9 best, and save my breath for 2001, when I'll surely need it for such promising Hollywood titles as Squelch, Snatch, and Shrek. I'm Bob Mondello.